From Deland DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of March 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribull will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast as it's related to the growing regions across the planet here in the United States, South America too, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. A reminder as we start our program today, if you can stay with us on our home station, you'll hear all of Commodity Week. If not, many of these stations will carry it over the weekend, and you'll hear a portion of it today during the Closing Market Report we recorded yesterday afternoon. Our panelists included Arlen Suderman of StoneX, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities, and John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures. It was a good show. Hope you can stay with us right here at Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Mike Zuzlo, GlobalComResearch.com, out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to discuss the day and the week's trade. Thank you, Michael, for being with us. Hope you're having a good day there in the eastern part of Kansas.
Having a great day, Todd. Thanks for doing this a bit early. I've got a client flying up from Wichita and have to meet him at the Amelia Earhart Airport here in a little bit. So thanks for putting me on a little bit earlier for the recording.
Well, let's turn our attention to what happened in Chicago, at least so far as the trade has gone today, because we're talking at about 12:30 Central Time in the afternoon. What are the drivers?
Well, I think most of it, Todd, has been spread unwinding and reversal of thrusters when it comes to the positioning that we had earlier in this week. We had two big drivers and then a third minor driver coming in here for the most part this week. One was the bean oil market rallying sharply against the bean meal. We've been able to take those price levels and spreads up to levels not seen since 2011. The oil meal crush number or ratio, and also just the flat price of the bean oil. And that's been a real driver of the soybean market here to the upside in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Part of this, I think, was obviously the edible oil issues that we're dealing with in Asia, but those seem to be cooling off. I think what we found out earlier this week and late last week was there are some refineries actually retooling away from gasoline refining and moving towards more biodiesel refining and biofuel refining. And so biodiesel is in the spotlight right now, and the funds are participating, I think, in that, trying to get in on it early. Second thing that was really running the show this week was the turn lower in the wheat market. That was an issue when it came to not only the strengthening dollar, but also this flipping of the weather pattern and the crop conditions just bouncing substantially in terms of Monday's numbers from the state NAS agencies in Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma. And then the third minor thing that I think is going to be a major factor next week is the trade seemed to want to buy into the idea that corn acres were going up on next Wednesday's report. I'm going to say the trade's priced in around 94 million acres by taking us down to about a 460 D's corn price, probably holding about 90 million acres on the soybeans as we see that 12, 10, 12, 15, 1220 area hold very good as support.
You think those numbers are right?
I don't. I have a hard time getting above 91 million. And a couple reasons for that, Todd. I think that based upon what I have talked to clients about, I'd say two-thirds of my clients probably had their fuel and their fertilizer needs booked earlier before the market started to really rally sharply after we came out of the COVID this spring. And I think that third that did not are really wondering whether they really want to plant corn. I'm hearing also, and this is just rumor mill, anecdotal stuff from a couple clients here out west, that good varieties of corn genetics are pretty hard to find right now. Is that because they're oversold because the acres are going to be so high, or is it because of the derecho last year in Iowa? And I think that's a big question mark in my mind. It has been ever since that occurred. Third thing would be the crop insurance price. I think the sticker shock in the corn because the volatility was very fresh in people's minds as they decided to make their final push on that last 20-25% of acreage here at the end of February, 1st of March. So My mindset is the trade's pricing in $94 million. If we get it, that's fine. That's the top end of the report, the top end of the actual production too. If we stay at 92, I think that'll be very friendly for the Deese corn.
Yeah, and so I was just thinking about this as you were discussing some of the fundamentals behind it. The one-third price rise in anhydrous ammonia, or price of nitrogen in general, would be a deterrent, I would think, for some farmers as well.
Yeah, exactly. The fertilizer, the fuel, I mean, everything energy related. And, you know, this goes back to, I had a client call from Central Indiana and said, should I lock in my gasoline prices for this summer? And I said, yeah, this summer and probably this fall if we don't get this evergreen ship or forever.
Ever given from evergreen, yeah, yes.
Forever stuck, I think it should be renamed. If that goes another 2 weeks, we got to realize 10% of the global merchandise trade goes through that little tiny area that ship has plugged up. And this is going to be a significant issue in the world markets if it goes on another couple weeks.
Yeah, so this is in the Suez Canal. What impact does it have backing up into agriculture for the United States, do you suppose?
Yeah, first and foremost would be the energy versus the dollar relationship, that strong negative correlation between the dollar and the crude oil. We've seen it already this week. What a yo-yo we've seen. The dollar has broken higher, broken above that 92.50 resistance we talked about last week, but it's having trouble. It's stumbling now, and this is because the crude oil is starting to really take off as the crude oil markets in the Middle East and the fear of piracy, the fear of drone strikes, things like that, those will only increase. In fact, it was either the Nikkei or the Financial Times were already starting to talk about that midday Friday. That's point number one for the ag sector and the funds. Point number two will be the shipping costs. Shipping costs are going to probably go sky high. They're artificially going to go sky high. It's a cost push. Inflation, much like we've talked about, is that going to dampen the commodity demand, or is that going to create the end users to want to buy extra, worried that they're not going to be able to get a ship again? So this is, again, I think really in the heart and soul of the commodity sector, and I don't think the trade's really gotten its eyes around it or hands around it yet.
And freight cost is something that has been going up, and once you start having to run ships all the way around the Horn of Africa, things would get much more expensive, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's going to go with the trend of the emerging market currencies. That was really a tailwind for us. If we start to see the Chinese currency lose, because it does look like there is a breakout in the dollar against the yuan, if there is a breakout against the dollar against the yuan, and then all of a sudden we tack on another $100 per ton per vessel or something like that, I think that will hurt commodity demand eventually.
Anything else we ought to be thinking about? And I guess maybe I want to concentrate a little bit on the grain stocks, which we haven't talked about, and the livestock numbers in the last quarter.
Yeah, real quickly, the big number for me is really the wheat. The wheat really needs to pick it up here as a leader to the upside, not downside. That's really created a real serious headwind for the corn. So 1.4 billion was the March number last year in the wheat. We're estimating it's going to be around 1.3 billion. We need to keep it below last year's level. On the livestock, I think it's a big heads up with that hogs and pigs report and all hogs coming in at 98%. That last cattle on feed report showing placements at 98%. We are peaking in U.S. livestock numbers here. So that best pricing for the first half of the calendar year for grain guys, best pricing for livestock guys, second half of the calendar year, I think that still holds.
You expect demand to be strong then?
I expect demand to stay strong, but here again, that goes back to the shipping costs and what the currencies are doing.
Anything on ethanol?
Ethanol seems to be really running strongly, but if we start to go above $3 on gasoline prices, we've really got to get to that blend wall and get moving on blending more ethanol. Otherwise, we're going to lose some outright unleaded gasoline demand. So I think it's good right now, but ask me July 4th.
Will do. We'll see how much travel and return to the office space and commute time, I suppose, we have by then.
Right on, sir.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We caught up with him just a bit earlier in the day because he had a meeting to get to. We do thank him for taking the time and spending it with us, and we're glad you're here too. You can always find us again whenever you'd like. The address for our website is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G. .org. On this Friday, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass, as usual, from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hope you've had a great week so far and are ready for the week to wrap up to, I guess, Eric.
Yeah, I am. I'm ready for a weekend, and I'm ready for some warmer temperatures to come back in, too.
Uh-oh, would be good. And you're the one who can tell me whether that's going to happen. However, let's start with the rainfall events that we have had in the Midwest. Gosh. Where you and I live here in East Central Illinois, things are starting to look pretty good, I think.
You know, they are. And we've recently seen some improvement in the drought monitor in our area, especially with your farms over there in Logan County.
Yeah.
So, getting some moisture back in here, even some moisture getting into the drier parts of northern Indiana, southern Michigan, and Ohio. That was critical. Although, gosh, the winds they saw the other day were just incredible. But the big picture is what's happened in the central plains of the United States. And so, you know, over the last few weeks, we've been kind of monitoring these big systems and discussing the big snows and then the subsequent rain that's come through. And you know, take a state like Nebraska, March might be the wettest March on record for Nebraska when this is all said and done. So we'll keep a close eye on that statistic. But what's amazing is you go straight north of there. I had a guy this week do a soil moisture probe for me in North Dakota. Measured 2% moisture when we did the calculation, 2%. So that's an area that's been missed. And by the way, there is no snow on the ground up there to melt and put into that soil. So there's going to be a region up there I'm going to be very concerned about for drought moving forward. But we saw up to a 3-class improvement in the drought over the last couple of months here in the Central Plains. And the better we can kind of beat that back to the west, the more we'll have a better outlook for the upcoming summer.
Yeah, I have a question about that soil probe. Was that in the Red River Valley or was that further to the west?
He was further to the west, yeah. Okay. I forgot the town he was in now, but yeah, he was further to the west because I was given a talk later in Montana, and he says, I got some data for you. And I was like, holy cow, that's dry.
Yeah, even there, there's a big difference across that part of the state. It's the transition really out of the Midwest and into the Northern Plains areas. Next week, you mentioned you like the warm weather or you want the warm weather. Are we going to get the warm weather?
Well, we're going to get a few shots at some cooler air. And for the first time in a long time, we have a storm system that's going to go through Canada. Now, I was given a talk in Saskatoon earlier this week, and they'll tell you up there that things are very dry, but it's been so mild, they're all wanting to get in the fields early up there too. Well, there's a system coming through, and I told the guys, like, don't summarize your snowblower yet, buddy. You're going to need to get that back out. But the problem is with that system going through the Canadian Prairie, it is big enough that it'll drag a front through us, and we're going to get our temps knocked back midweek. But don't worry, we're going to recover pretty quickly after that and see some much above average temperatures following that.
Have you been following the seasonals in our area, and how close are we?
Yeah, well, when we look out there a bit longer term, there's a few things to keep in mind. One, we've been very, very wet in the south already. So we know there's a bunch of moisture in the soil there, especially the mid-south. And by the way, this weekend, we do have this warm-up coming. There is the chance for us to get some storms out of this, but it's going to target much farther to the south, again, over the mid-south region. Now, why I bring that up is that is a region where we don't have drought right now. When we look out there at the longer-range seasonal forecasts, it's critical that there isn't drought immediately to our south right now. It's mainly to our west. And the reason why I'm thinking about that is because some of the long-range models want to try to keep the driest conditions in the plains for this upcoming summer and then start to transition as we get into summer to more heat-focused there and possibly not over us. But there's a wild card in all of this. I'm going to toss out a new term today. It's called the Pacific Meridional Mode. Now, long story short, it's a way by which we monitor both ocean temperature patterns and wind patterns across the Pacific, specifically south of Alaska off the West Coast, where we have cool water right now. And I told a group yesterday, if the ocean temperature patterns, which right now resemble the negative phase of the Pacific Meridional mode, if they stay the same right now all the way through, well, June and July, the risk for drought over us increases substantially. So we have to watch this carefully to see if those ocean temperatures warm. Everybody on the West Coast wants them to stay cool. Everybody in the Midwest wants them to warm up because that'll tell you where the heat's going to get placed as we get into our summer months here.
Finally, I better check in on South America for me.
Well, we're dry in Brazil's northern and central growing areas for the next week, but there has been an important thing going on in the Pacific in that La Nina is basically no more. One of the measures by which we kind of see how strong it is now back firmly into neutral territory. That's called the Southern Oscillation Index. And here's the key. The MJO, we often talk about that, right? It's moving. And what it's doing right now is it's suppressing precipitation over Brazil. And then what's going to happen is that as it continues to move, maybe in about another 2 weeks, it's going to get wet again. But remember, once you get into April, this is basically the tail end of the monsoon. And it appears that for this safrinha crop, which went in late, they could have a dry finish. Basically looking at the movement of the of the MJO, kind of giving you that forecast there. So there's still more to talk about coming out of South America.
Hey, thank you. We'll check in with you about that and all kinds of other things for the growing regions around the planet again next week.
That sounds good.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find not only this program, but our Commodity Week program as well. If you scroll down the page, you'll find a way to listen to each of them as a podcast in places like Stitcher and SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. Along the way on that page, information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist from the University of Illinois, and some of the agricultural news for the day. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org.